I feel God about to do something in here. I feel God's about to do something in here. My assignment is what I alluded to earlier. I'm after your mindset this morning. My goal today is to lead you into what I like to call prophetic thought life. You think problematically. God thinks prophetically. You think in terms of problems. Oh, Lord have mercy. But there's another dimension that I want to unlock for you called the prophetic thought life. And you have to start looking at everything that faces you, not as a problem. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, we're going to get into it in just a second. This requires a few things. And to set the stage, God took me to this scripture as a backdrop for preparing your mindset. There's a lot in this text, and I don't want to get lost in it. I can, because there's so much there that I can get lost in it for weeks and days and months. I don't want to do that this morning. I want to stay on task and speak to your mind for a moment. Because I know, I felt it when I came in the room. The enemy's after your mind. He tried to get your heart. Oh, Lord have mercy. Huh? But you know, the love of God for you is so reckless. That's what makes you keep coming back. No, everybody in the church done got on your nerves. I wish I had somebody here. The only reason you came back is because God loves you so recklessly. You said, all right, God, okay, I'm going. So I want to jump into this word, and I want to drill down on it. I promise I'll put it in proper context, and I'll give you all of the little nuggets in there so that you can have a proper understanding. But it's just the backdrop to help you cultivate a prophetic mindset so that you can stop looking at your circumstances like problems that are not solvable. Like things that cannot change and turn around in a heartbeat. The scripture says this. I won't keep you standing long because you'll lose your focus. Here we go. 1 Samuel 30. It came to pass David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south. And Ziklag was smitten and burned with fire. The Bible says that they had taken the women captive and everything that was therein. They didn't kill anything. They slew not any. I hear you, Holy Ghost. Look at your neighbor and say, it's still alive. Everything was taken, but nothing was killed. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. And then David and the people that were with them lifted up their voice and wept, and they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive. And list all the stuff that was taken captive. And the verse 6 says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and for his daughters. But the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And verse 7 says, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. And verse 8 is where we want to go. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And here's what messes me up about the text. And he answered him. David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue. Oh, Lord, have mercy. For thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Spirit of the living God, you've brought us to this moment to birth a movement. All movements are birthed from a moment. It takes one moment for something to move. So God, I don't know why everybody came in here this morning, but I know why you came. Your presence has showed up in this place to tell your people that something's about to move, that they shall pursue. But they're not going to pursue for pursuit's sake. They're going to recover everything. The enemy would have us to believe that our dreams, our hopes, our stuff is dead. It's not dead, it's stolen. And this is the moment where you speak to our minds and give us the strategy on how to get it back. Some people just came to watch. Some people just thought it would be a good idea to come to church. But regardless of the why, show up anyway. Touch your people. Do it like only you can. Touch our hearts in this moment to receive what you got to say. Touch our ears to understand it so that we might have faith believing. Faith comes by hearing the word of the living God. We thank you for what you're going to do in the next 30 minutes in this room. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. You agree with that prayer? Say amen. Amen. You know how we do it, KLC. Turn to your neighbor. Smile as bright as you can. Show them everything God has blessed you with. Come on, all the teeth you got in your mouth. Come on. If you ain't got no teeth, smile anyway. And gum it up and look at them and say, I'm going to recover all this year. Find somebody else before you sit down and tell them, I'm going to recover all this year. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. There's an old story of a voyager who, in the earliest centuries of discovery, wanted to discover new territory. And so he goes before the king in England and he decides that, like Columbus, he's going to discover something that's supposedly new. The problem with that level of discovery is that what you're discovering already exists for somebody. The Englishman sets out and he gets resources from the king to go and discover new territory. The problem with that level of discovery is that He can only discover what he understands at the moment. In other words, if he's never been to the place, if he's never been somewhere, he doesn't know that it already exists, and he doesn't know that it already has a name, and he doesn't know that it's really not new. It's an old thing. And so he launches out in a set of water, in a set of territory that he really has never launched out before from the English channels. He went a different way, in a different direction. And when he did, he started to discover things that he never saw before about his own country. He hadn't gotten but so far, and as he lifted out about 3 days' journey away from where his launching place was, he comes to a new territory, a new island, and he thought that he had gone far enough to discover something new. He gets out of his boat down with his men. They unload all of the resources, and he plants a flag in the middle of the island, puts the English flag there, looking for the natives that was going to be in the land, and quickly finding out that where the people should be, they weren't. And he thought that he would be met with all this adversity and that all these people were going to come out and fight him because he was discovering something new. And when he planted the flag, he couldn't figure out for the life of him, why in the world is this not being met with certain opposition? Why in the world is this not being met with adversity when I'm discovering something new and taking it over and claiming it for the kingdom of England? Well, the reason that he wasn't met with any adversity was because the island that he had thought he had discovered was already owned by England. In other words, he discovered something that was already theirs. And he planted a flag in it, thinking he was going to start something new and start a new movement and start a new wave and be able to start a new city, a new territory for England. But all he discovered was something that England had already possessed. The people that came out to meet him with greetings because they were already Englanders. They were already part of the United Kingdom. And they basically was like, hey, how you doing? I'm glad you made it out here. It was a set in a group of people who were already living on the island that was far away from London itself and from all of the hustle and bustle and the new territory and the new birth. And he thought that he was discovering something absolutely new when he was really discovering something already that's true, already that's old, and already that's established. In other words, what I'm trying to say to you is that it is amazing to me that we depart from what we already know. We depart from the truth that is already set in our heart. We depart from the things that we already possess to go and try to find something that's new, that's fresh, that's invigorating to say that we discovered it, we got it, and yet and still we don't know what we already possess because we never ventured out into territory that was beyond the scope of our understanding that we had at the moment, and we didn't realize that our kingdom was a little bit bigger than the territory that we possess at the time. In other words, he set out to try to possess something that he already possessed, and he didn't know that he had already possessed it. Look at your neighbor and say, there's some stuff that already belongs to you. You just don't know it. Now, I don't know why there's such an apathetic spirit in the room, but I need about 10 people in here to look down your row and say, there's some stuff that already belongs to you. You just don't know it. There's some peace that already belongs to you, but you're acting like you got to go and discover peace. There's some prosperity that already belongs to you, but you're acting like you got to go and discover prosperity. There's some healing that already belongs to you, but you're in here acting like you got to go and discover healing. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, it's already mine. Jesus, when he died on the cross, had unleashed all the promises of God at once and told us that it's already ours. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said, God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Look at your neighbor and say, it's already mine. It's already mine. Everything that you're trying to go and accomplish, everything that you're trying to set your hand to do, everything that God has put in your heart this year is already yours. I'm not going to do a lot of work trying to convince you, but it's my job and duty to tell you that it's already yours. Healing is already yours. Peace is already yours. Favor is already yours. You ain't got to seek it out, for the Lord will bless the righteous, and with his favor, he shall surround them as with a shield. I wish I had somebody say, it's already mine. So what got your mind convinced that it's not? And here's where I want to step into this moment, because it is in this room, I can feel it all over, that our minds are convinced that what God has already destined to be ours is not ours. You're going to God and asking him for permission for stuff that's already yours. Yeah, you're going to God because you think your hopes are lost. You think your dreams are lost. You think your stuff is dead. You think it's over. It is not over. It is not dead. It has been stolen. The reason it has been stolen is because you weren't present. If you were present, the thief would not have showed up and stole your stuff. God was asking you to come spend time with him. He was asking you to come get direction for him. He was asking you, go to church. Make it a priority in your life. Don't sit at home. No, that's just an excuse. Don't sit at home because you have a problem. You got to get around other believers. You got to get around other people with like-minded faith. You got to have your heart encouraged and inspired by the people you come in contact with. And if you isolate yourself, you're going to be out here by yourself, and you're going to start thinking and be left with your own thoughts. And you're going to start thinking that you're alone. And you're going to start thinking that God is not for you. And you're going to start thinking that the promise wasn't for you. And you're going to start thinking that the blessing of God is just for the elite, because they know the scripture and they know the word and they go to church and they pay their tithes. And you're going to start thinking that it's not for you because you're jacked up and you're messed up and you don't get it right. The God that you serve is the God of the jacked up. He's the God of the messed up. He's the God of the can't get right. You don't hear what I'm saying. He's the God of the individual that everybody discards. And he can take somebody who would discard it and pick them up and dust them off and make them such a person of destiny that you wouldn't believe that that was the person that everybody just discarded. Oh, look at your neighbor and say, he talking right about me right now. I was a dusty thing, but when I met God, I became a destined thing. I was a jacked up thing. But when I met God, I became a joy-filled thing. This is a battle over your mindset. The condition of your mind is so fragile. It's so fragile that we got to be quiet in the room. I'm not trying to give you noise. I'm trying to give you news. Yeah. And the news I'm trying to give you is good news. It's already yours. Touch three people on your own. Say, it's already yours. David is in Ziklag. He comes back to Ziklag because Ziklag is his adopted city. We know the story of David. We know that he's the eighth son of Jesse and that he was anointed by Samuel and he was going to be king. And it was that anointing and that discovery that he's going to be king and the killing of the giant that got him in the predicament that he's in right now. He kills Goliath and he doesn't get the throne. He kills Goliath and he gets terror. He kills Goliath and now Saul is trying to cut his throat and kill him and take him out because Saul is threatened by the anointing that's on David's life and he's trying to take him out. So David goes into hiding. He goes down to the cave Adullam. 400 men are with him. His family comes down. They're in the hole. They're hiding out in the cave Adullam. Then the prophet Gad comes down to David and said, you got to come out this cave. Look at your name and say, you got to come out this cave this year. I know you've been hiding from the anointing that God has given you, but you got to come out that cave this year. I know you've been hiding because you had some setbacks and your heart is filled with pain, but you got to come out this cave this year. I know you've been hiding because they don't like you and you don't like them and you're just trying to avoid everybody so that you don't get in trouble, but you got to come out this cave this year. I know you're hiding because you got unforgiveness in your heart and you really don't want to let it go and God is telling you to let it go. You got to come out the cave this year. Slap your neighbor high five and say, you got to come out this year. The come out is not going to be because God dragged you out. The come out is going to be because you chose to come out. Oh, I dare you to say, I can't hide no more. I can't hide no more. If you keep hiding, you're never going to get healed. If you keep hiding, you're never going to be blessed. If you keep hiding, you're never going to prosper. If you keep hiding, your dream is never going to become a reality. He comes out of the cave, and when he comes out of the cave, he doesn't have a strategy on what he's going to do. He's doing it by faith. He comes out of the cave, and the Philistines come to attack him, and he goes after the Philistines. And when he goes after anything that's attacking them, he inquires of the Lord. He says, Lord, should I go after them? Lord, should I fight them? His little fighting men of 400 is growing, and this little band, this little army of marauders are growing, and they're getting stuff done. They're protecting Judah, the southern tribe of Israel, and everything that attacks Judah, they're attacking it. So the Philistines came up to attack Judah, and he came out of the cave to protect Judah from the attack. The first thing that the enemy is going to attack when you come out of the cave is your ability and your capability to praise God. You're going to have to protect your praise in the beginning of this year, because the enemy, the first thing he's going to do is come to attack Judah. Judah means praise. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to have to protect your praise. Here's why you have to protect your praise, because your praise conditions your mindset. I'm not trying to get you to praise God because it's cute. I'm trying to get you to praise God because it's important. Your mind, my God, gets shifted when you start putting your focus on who God is. Praise is not an indicator of what God is going to do. Praise is a prophetic indication of who God is. The only reason I can give him glory is because I know he's glorious. The only reason I can give him a great praise is because I know he's great. Praise challenges my toxic thoughts and puts the focus back on the greatness of my God, so that I don't look at any situation and circumstance like it's greater than the God that I serve. Look at your neighbor and say, excuse me, I'm about to protect my praise. I gotta take 10 seconds and give God praise. I dare you to protect your praise. I will bless the Lord at all times. Sit down. I gotta get away. Don't cut into my time. Protect your praise on your own time. I gotta protect my praise. So he's protecting Judah. And in protecting Judah, he's gotta inquire of the Lord. Praise leads me to pray. Y'all missing me. Praise sets my heart and mind to seek God. Praise is just the beginning of worship. It leads me to the place of acquiring of the Lord and figuring out, God, what should I do next? Because at some point, I'm going to be in a predicament that I don't have a reason to praise God. You don't hear me. And so I have to condition my mindset to praise God when I don't have a reason. Because what it's going to do is going to lead me to always go and seek the Lord. It's going to condition my mind and my heart to be open enough to start seeking God instead of seeking other things. He goes to protect Judah against the attack of the Philistines, and he says, should I go after them? And God says, yeah, go after them. You're going to knock them out. You're going to take care of them. And the second time they come back again and they attack Judah, he says, God, should I go after them? He says, no, don't go after them this time. Wait until you hear me walking through the mulberry trees. And when you hear me walking through the mulberry trees, then I'm going to see. It is the prayer. It is the praise that leads me to the prayer that gives me the strategy on what to pursue and when to pursue it. If I don't have a praise in my heart that leads me to petitioning God and asking God, what shall I do? I can't get the strategy on how to pursue or when to pursue or what to pursue. I need to hear God's voice when I should be going after something and when I should be sitting still and when I should be holding my peace and when I should be crying aloud and sparing not. I need to inquire of the Lord. And this is what David was doing, and it was fine for a moment. Until Saul figured out he wasn't in the cave no more. Here's the thing. Saul wasn't even after David no more. He was fighting his own battles. And it is in the text that you can see the contrast of Saul, who was anointed to be king, but the anointing is lifted off of him, and David, who is now anointed to be king, and the anointing of God is upon him. And it is David who was wrestling with how he is going to walk and possess what God has for him. And the only way he can really get it is to keep in close contact and relationship with God. The only way he can possess what he's about to pursue is to keep in close relationship and contact with God. The only way he can possess what God is telling him to pursue is to keep in close relationship and contact with God. Saul is not in that predicament, and the reason why Saul is not chasing David anymore is because Saul got his own problems. He's fighting the entire Philistine army, and God is not speaking to him anymore, because Saul has come to a presumptuous conclusion. Presumption is very dangerous when it comes to the promises of God, because when you begin to make the outcome what you think is going to be without consulting God, and because you have analytically deduced that it's going to be like this based on reason, and you've discounted and discarded revelation, you didn't even equate God into the factor. You didn't even make God a factor. He's not even in your equation. You're looking at the numbers, and you're looking at all of the analytics and the data. You're looking at the data like it's a directive. I wish I had somebody in here. The data is just information. It's not revelation. I wish I had somebody in here. And it breaks you start thinking and trying to solve the problem analytically instead of trying to solve the problem intuitively. When you get insight, God, Lord, help me in here. When you get insight, it leads you to intuition. And intuition is more powerful than analytics. Analytics, for it to work, needs intuition. The only reason you're looking at the data you're looking at is because intuitively you believe this information is teaching you something. So whenever you try to go at it scientifically, even your scientific hunch is built on intuition. But we discount intuition because I can't see it. I can't measure it. I can't quantify it. I can't see it on the outside, but I've already saw it on the inside. It was Walt Disney's wife who sat there at the ceremony of Space Mountain as they cut the ribbon on the new roller coaster, and they looked at her, the CEO of Disney looked at her and said, Walt will be very happy to see this, and it would be a proud moment if he was here to see it, because the Space Mountain got built after Walt Disney died. And his wife looked back at him and said, sir, thank you for your compliment, but you're absolutely wrong. Walt already saw it. He didn't have to be here to see it. The reason that it's here is because he saw it. I wish I had somebody in here. And the reason you're going to see it is because you're already, whatever God has placed on the inside of you, don't discount what you saw. Slap your neighbor high five and say, he showed me already. He showed me I was going to have my business. He showed me what my marriage was going to be like. He showed me where my kids were going to go to college. He showed me what the outcome was. He already showed. And oftentimes it is the information on the outside that makes us discount the revelation that God has given us on the inside. In order for insight to work, you have to have hindsight working. The reason why you don't have insight is because you don't have hindsight. Hindsight is the ability to look backwards. When you look back over your life and really stare at your life, you have to see the traces of the goodness of God operating in your life, which is going to help you to have insight. So that when God shows you something on the inside, you can say, well, if he did that, if he kept me through the fire, and he kept me through the flood, and he kept me through the storm, why am I discounting what he's showing me right now? Hindsight helps you to have insight. Insight helps you to have foresight. Foresight is not a prediction, it's a promise. Whenever God is telling you he's about to do something, it's not a prediction, it's a promise. A prediction is a forecast of a future outcome that you presume to be true. A prediction is based on presumption, but foresight is based on promise. The reason I have foresight, and what happens with foresight, is that I begin to, watch me now, I begin to anticipate the future. I begin to intuitively move toward what I know God wants me to have, and I anticipate it as if it is inevitable. Regardless of what the outcome, because I don't measure the goodness of God by the outcome, I measure the goodness of God by the promise. God, don't preach about it yourself. If God promised it, I don't have to worry about the outcome at the moment, because if the outcome is not what I thought it would be, then it's leading me to a greater outcome.
Slap your neighbor, high five, and say, you need hindsight. You need hindsight. Hindsight is going to help you have insight. Insight is going to help you have foresight. And when you get foresight, you learn how to anticipate the goodness of God. It is in the text now that we discover that David's insight is being challenged because of his mindset. This insight is being challenged because of his mindset. He's lost the ability to look inwardly, and now he's looking outwardly. He finds out that he tells himself in the prior chapters that Saul, if he discovers I'm down here, he's gonna come kill me. So he leaves Ziklag and he goes and enlists in the army of the enemy. The same enemy he was fighting in Judah, the Philistines, he goes to Achish the king and says, listen, let me fight for you. I got 400 fighting men. They strong. We can do some stuff. Let me be your rear guard in your battle, and we're going to fight for you. And he tells Achish that Saul is trying to kill him, and Philistines are fighting Saul, and Saul is the king of Israel, and David is anointed to be king. And because he's anointed to be king, he thinks Saul is going to kill him, and he comes to the presumption and the conclusion that Saul is going to kill him because he found out he's out of the cave. And so he decides by choice, without inquiring of the Lord, without asking God anything, I'm going to go and enlist in the army of the Philistines. Meanwhile, Saul is upset, and he's so upset that he pulls up Samuel, who's already gone off to be with God, and he pulls him up in the dream in the spirit. He's so tormented, and Samuel says, why in the world are you calling me up? Why do you want me? I'm asleep. I'm resting in the spirit. Leave me alone. And Samuel comes up and says, why are you calling me? And Saul says, God won't talk to me. And Samuel said, why are you bothering me then? Because what Samuel knows, even in his death, is that if God ain't with you, he ain't with you, Jack. And so Saul, in contrast to David is not talking to anybody, but it's gotten so bad for Saul that he goes to the witch of Endor. David has went to fight for his enemy. Lord have mercy. But Saul goes, watch me, to get information from the deep darkness of the spiritual world through divination and not through revelation. The problem with divination is that it can only show you, watch me now, a negative outcome. And can never tell you the supernatural result of the power of God, because it's only tapped into a spiritual strand, but it's not tapped into the power of God. So when you go and seek divination like horoscopes and witches and psychics and mediums, shall I say, all they can tell you is something that's already dead. So now you're set in terror over something that's not a part of your destiny in the first place. Yes, it might happen, but it is dead. It has no power. I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting up in here. Oh, I'm about to step into enemy hell territory, because I'm gonna let you in on a little secret. The biggest wave of witchcraft that's going on in the country is not in the bayou somewhere. It's not in Louisiana. It's not in New Orleans. It's right here in Baltimore, Maryland. And I declare to the enemy today that the devil is a lie. No witch. No warlock has power over the territory that God has set his power over. The devil is alive. I got something for you, witch. I got something for you, warlock. It is the power of the true and living God. Attack, if you will. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. No weapon, just one. Oh, slap your neighbor high five and say, no devil in hell is going to distract me this year. I curse every hex in the name of Jesus Christ. Every curse word spoken over your life, I denounce it in the name of Jesus Christ. You shall be blessed. Your family shall be blessed. Your children shall be saved. Sit down, I gotta hurry. I'm almost there. Saul is at Endor, trying to figure out from the witch what's happening. God is not with him anymore. He ain't with him no more. He ain't with him no more. Hallelujah. I sparked something in the spirit. I know I did. That made somebody real mad. By witch, by warlock, by divination, by. I feel the freedom in the room. Oh, shut up, oh, shut up, my heart. Oh, shut up, oh, shit. Stop dabbling in that mess. Come out in the name of Jesus. Oh, I feel it. I feel it. I know it. We got power over all the power of the enemy. While Saul is at Endor, the chosen of God, Saul was the chosen of God. He's at the Witch of Endor. David has enlisted himself in the army of the enemy. You fighting for the other side now, Dave? And watch this. When he tries to enlist with the army of the enemy, they reject him. Achan said, no, we don't need you. Go on. You got mad because you got rejected? You ain't belong there in the first place. Oh, I feel like dancing up in here. You mad with God because they told you no? You wasn't supposed to be there. Slap your neighbor high five and say, that's not my spot. That's not my spot. You know you don't belong over there. You at the club just as uncomfortable as you want to be. You in there trying to smoke weed, don't even know how to smoke it. You're talking about something. Sit down. You mad, you're going to be bad because you mad. You don't even know what you're doing. They done sold you a bag of oregano. You don't even know it. You in there drinking Coke talking about it's Hennessy. Ain't no Hennessy in there. You can tell. That's water. That ain't Hennessy. You don't belong there. That's why you got rejected. Because it's not for you. It's not for you. He got rejected and he's feeling dejected because of the rejection. And it'll make matters worse when he gets back to Ziklag where his family was that he wasn't present with. He finds that the Amalekites, who God had promised to wipe out, has come and taken his stuff. His wife, his children, his men's wife and children, and they have burned the entire place. They burned it all. Lord have mercy. Their homes, all their stuff is burned. And he's sitting there and he's worried about it because he don't know if they're alive or if they're dead. He don't know. He's in great distress. His army is turning their back on him. They're about to stone him. They're about to kill him. And the Bible says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. You don't hear me. And David encouraged himself. Now, when we read that part, we think he got up and started praising God and gyrating and jerking. That's not what it means to encourage yourself in the Lord. The word encourage there means to strengthen. He strengthened himself in the Lord. And that Hebrew word strengthen, it implies it is a response of faith. In other words, God was still trying to talk to him, but David wasn't listening. That's why he went and enlisted in the army of the Philistines. But when he came back and saw the situation that was so drastic and his distress was so horrible, the Bible says he strengthened himself in the Lord. That means he started listening to God again. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm going to start listening to the voice of God again. I'm going to start coming back to the house of the Lord. I'm going to start getting back into my scripture. I'm going to start talking to God again. I'm going to start praying again. I'm going to start kneeling down at the bed in the morning like I used to and asking God, what should I do? And what? Slap your name and say, strengthen yourself, baby. You're going to need it. You're going to need it. You're going to need an atmosphere where you and God can meet. You're going to need a time where you can go and talk to the Lord in the closet of your house or in the corner of your bedroom. You better get it. You need it. He strengthened himself in the Lord. And after strengthening himself in the Lord, after listening to God again, watch me now. He's listening. He's trying to get the voice of God. He's trying to hear it. It's not clear. He doesn't have clarity. He doesn't know which way to go. You can't pursue without clarity. When you start pursuing without clarity, you got clutter. You start going after everything. You start trying to put your hand on stuff that God said, no, leave that alone. You start trying to hang out with folk that God is trying to separate you from. You start trying to have a relationship with people that God don't want you to have a relationship with. You need clarity. Clarity. If you don't have clarity, you have clutter, and it's a whole bunch of stuff in your life that doesn't matter. I'm almost there. Give me 5 minutes, I'll get you there. And so the Bible says, I might be lying. I'm sorry. The Bible says, about the 5 minutes, that's what I'm talking about. The Bible says he encourages himself in the Lord, he strengthens himself in the Lord. And after he strengthened himself in the Lord, he goes to Abiathar the high priest. This is where it gets good. He goes to Abiathar the high priest. He says, bring me the ephod. The ephod was the linen part of the breastplate that the high priest would wear. In that breastplate was the 12 stones that represented the tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel. But behind the stones were two stones called the Urim and the Thummim, and it was those two stones that they would cast lots with. In other words, the Urim and Thummim means perfect light. It means perfect light. In other words, it means illumination. It means you're about to get divine guidance. Look at your neighbor. You're not saying, you're not going to just get clarity. You're going to get divine guidance. You're going to get divine guidance. God is about to guide you on what you should be pursuing in 2019. God is about to guide you on what you need to be pursuing in 2019. Many are the plans of the man's heart, but it is the purpose of the Lord that prevails. And so in order for the high priest to figure out what direction God wanted to go, they would cast lots with these two pieces of stone, the Urim and the Thummim. It's called perfect light. Well, we don't have those two stones because we don't need those two stones. Those same two stones were the same semblance of Moses coming down off of Mount Sinai with perfect light after God touched with his finger the hewn out rock and stone that had on it the Ten Commandments or the Word of God, the Decalogue of God. In other words, that Urim and Thummim, those two stones, like Moses' two tablets, represents the word of the living God. Look at your neighbor and say, I need a word in order to figure out what I have to pursue. Thy word is the lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path. I need a word. I can't lean on my own understanding. In all my ways, I got to acknowledge him. He says, bring me the linen ephod. And when he brings him the linen ephod, we had the Urim and the Thummim. He asks God, he starts speaking to God through his word. His word is speaking to him. And he's talking to God through his word, and his word is speaking to him. And he's talking to God through his word, and his word is speaking to him. And God is talking to him through his word, and his word is speaking to him. And God is talking to him in his word. Like right now, God is talking to you through the word. He's telling you, all right, leave that alone. You hear the man of God? No, don't mess with that. No, no. I'm confirming. I'm affirming. I wish I had somebody here. And it's all through the word of the living God. The word is the only thing that can separate soul from spirit and discern the intentions of your heart. So he gets a word, and the word is, he says, God, shall I pursue? But what messes me up is not the pursuit. What messes me up, the Bible says, and he answered him. Look at your neighbor real quick. Come on, look at him real good and get anointed. Because here's the whole crux of the whole message. Come on, look at him real good and say, get ready for a divine answer. Get ready for a divine answer. Not only is God going to give you divine guidance, he's about to give you a divine answer. I wish I had somebody in here. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, there's no problem that's bigger than the God that we serve. God is about to give you a divine answer for the problem that you have in this moment. He's about to solve your problem prophetically. I wish I had some. It's about to be a divine answer. excuse me, I got 5 minutes to get this in you. Look at your neighbor real quick and say, don't sit up in here and act like you ain't got no problems right now. God is about to give you a divine answer for the problem that you came in here with, that had gripped your mind and your heart so heavy that you couldn't praise Him. He says, shall I pursue? And he asks him, will I be victorious in my pursuit? He says, shall I pursue and shall I overtake? That's all he asks. He says, shall I pursue and shall I overtake? And the Bible says, Lord have mercy, that God said, that God in his divine answer says, yeah, pursue. Look at your name and say, pursue. He says, not only pursue, and not only are you going to overtake, but in your pursuit, you're going to recover all. Not just what was lost, not just what was stolen, but everything else that the enemy possesses when you go and get your stuff. For the Bible says, if the thief be found, he's got to restore unto you sevenfold of what he took and the increase of his house. Slap somebody a high five and say, I'm getting everything back. My dreams, my hopes, my spirit, my energy, my zeal, my enthusiasm. I'm getting everything back. He pursues. He recover all. Slap your neighbor high five. I'm done. I got 3 minutes. Slap your neighbor high five and say, get ready to recover all. Get ready to recover all. When you pursue, God is not going to have you pursue without the intelligence that you need to pursue. Look at your name and say, you're going to pursue, but it's going to be with intelligence. It's going to be with intelligence. In other words, when you go after your stuff, you're going to need some inside information about where your stuff is. And God is about to hook you up with somebody in partnership that's going to help show you where your stuff at. In the way of the pursuit, the Bible says that on the way, that some of his men got so tired that they couldn't go to the rest of the journey. And so David told them, go ahead and stay with the supplies. Look at your neighbor real quick and say, if you don't have the energy, you can't partner with me on this trip. You can't partner with me on this trip. I'm not mad at you. I'm not upset with you. It's just that you can't pursue with me right now because you don't have the mindset and the heart condition to be able to go with me on this journey. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to stay with the supplies. You got to stay with the supplies. I need somebody to guard my stuff while I'm going after my other stuff. It's all right if you can't go. Just stay here. Those men stayed with the supplies. It was about a third of his group that couldn't go. And so that didn't stop him from not pursuing. Look at your name and say, just because everybody can't go, come on here, doesn't mean you can't go without them. They might say, I can't go with you to go get your degree. That's all right. Wait right here. I'll be back. I just feel like preaching with somebody up in here. I can't go with you and start your own business. Don't worry about it. Wait right here. I'll be back. And when I come back, I'm going to have all our stuff. I'm going to have something for me, and I'm going to have something. Oh, God, I feel like preaching this thing in here. Oh, God, I feel like preaching this thing in here. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I'll be back, I'll be back, I'll be back, I'll be back, I'll be back. He told him, stay with the supplies, I'll be back. And then it went off with a third less of the group. And as they went off, the Bible says they ran into a slave, an Egyptian slave, who was working with the Amalekites, who was left for dead. And the Bible says they showed kindness to him. Now, this man just took their stuff. He just burned their village. Lord have mercy. And they could kill him. But if I kill you, you can't give me inside information. That's why you ought not to be mad with any of your haters this year. And you ought not to be upset with anybody that wanted to do you wrong. They about to give you some inside. I feel like preaching up in here. I feel like preaching up in here. When the sons of God presented themselves unto the Lord, the Bible says Satan showed up and God said, where you been? God said, where you been? He wasn't mad at him. He wasn't upset with him. He said, where you been? He said, I've been roaming to and fro, trying to find somebody who I can distract and mess up. I'm paraphrasing, of course. I'm trying to find somebody who I can attack and mess up. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? Because no weapon just winning, baby. I wish I had somebody. I can use your attack to set up my anointed ones to go into a greater blessing. Did you hear what I just said? God said, I'm so bad, I can use whatever attack you try to use on my people as a setup. My minute's up, I'm gonna do it anyway. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, it's a setup. Every battle you face this year is a bridge to a greater blessing. It's a setup. Every fight you fight this year, it's a bridge. God, I feel it in here. To a greater blessing. He feeds the man. He gives him water. He gives him food. He takes care of him. He says, where you from? Who you belong to? He says, I belong to the Amalekites, but they left me for dead. Slap your name and say, you about to pick off your adversaries. The folk that used to fight you are the folk that's about to help you the most. I feel like preaching and y'all ain't helping me preach. Slap your neighbor high five and say, you used to hate me, but the hate was help. Because what you meant for evil, God turned that thing around. Oh God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost in here. The person that wanted to do him harm is now helping him. And David has enough sense not to be bitter about it. If I kill you, I can't get the information you got. Where's my stuff? And the man said to him, well, if you don't turn me back in to my owner, I'll help you. Your stuff is linked to somebody else's freedom. See, if all you want is your stuff, keep it. But if the pursuit of your stuff is going to set somebody else free, then God can really show you where your stuff at. Slap your neighbor high five and say, it's not just for me, it's for you too. It's not just for me, it's for your child. It's not just for me, it's for your cousin. It's not just for me, it's for your auntie. It's not just for me. He shows them where the stuff is. And the Bible says that he goes down because of the information that he got from the guy who just burnt his stuff. And they showed him where the company was. And the Bible says David and his men went down there with a third less people and still got the victory. You might not have all the resources you need, but you still gonna get the victory. You might not have all the folk you want, but you still gonna get the victory. Everybody might not be with you, but you still gonna get the victory. Everybody might not understand it, but you still gonna get the victory. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I believe I'm preaching to somebody. Shout, I'm still gonna get the victory. Everyone standing on your feet all over this church. I know y'all waiting for me to hoop it out and for the organ to get going. You missed your moment. You missed your moment. You missed your moment. You missed your moment. God gives us moments to start movements. This was a moment for David. Do you hear me? That started a movement. That started a movement. David goes back to talking to God again. Because not talking to him got him in so much trouble. You got to go back to talking to God again. What good is it to pursue and prosper and lose your soul? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose your soul? So you got everything, but you ain't got God. So now you're trying to maintain everything without God. You have no divine guidance. So your family's falling apart. Your business is falling apart. Your work life is falling apart. You have no balance because you don't have God's guidance. You're trying to hold on to stuff that he's saying let go of. You're trying to hook up with people he's saying leave alone. You have no divine guidance. And when you lack that divine guidance, you start creating your own strategies based on your own inside information. It's called presumption. This is why David writes and says, Father, cleanse me of presumptuous sins. Oh, God, I'm killing this thing, and y'all ain't even helping me out. You ain't got to tell me. I just murked that joint right there. I murdered that. Murdered it. It's dead. We can have a funeral on that. Ashes to ashes. Dust to dust. That is a word. You cannot pursue on presumption. You can only pursue on promise. Presumptions are predictions. And I don't know anybody that makes a good living predicting anything. Have you ever seen a psychic with a 401k? No. We don't even like the weather people. Mad, go outside mad. Like, they don't know what they're talking about. Because it's a forecast. It's not a promise. It's that we think it might be this because the trends say it looked that way. And we bring that mindset into our spiritual space and discount revelation and erect a barrier in our heart that suggests that God can't move outside of our logical limits. Just because I can't think it don't mean God can't do it. Now unto him who was able to do exceedingly above all that I ask or think. Hallelujah. Squeeze that hand next to you real quick. Don't worry, you're going to make the game. Just squeeze that hand. This year, set your heart to seek God. Well, Pastor, I don't know all those scriptures, and I can't get them to talk about. God ain't tripping on that. That's not what he's asking. He's asking that you just make time for him. You can talk to God as plainly as I'm talking to you right now. You don't need a theological degree. You don't need a title. The titles that God gave us aren't titles, they're functions anyway. We just use them as titles. You don't need to be called a bishop or a pastor or an elder or evangelist or deacon to talk to God. All you need is a mouth, a mind, and a heart. And you can have a conversation with him. He can speak to your spirit. But how do I know God is talking to me? That's what the word is for. Let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. That's what the word is for. That's why you have to sit under the word to discern whether or not what you heard is God. Because when you hear truth, you know truth. And the word is truth. I don't care what preacher gets up and preaches to you. If you know it ain't true, you know it intuitively. You might not even know the word, but you looking at him like, that ain't true. No, God did not say that. Yeah. So God wants to bring you into prophetic problem solving. That you don't look at the things that are seen. Ah, God. But the things that are seen are temporary and subject to change. But the things that are not seen are eternal. So God is about to do some work on your intuition. Hallelujah. He's going to give you insight. And he's going to do it by touching your mindset to be open to something more than what you just reasoned about. Hallelujah. Faith is theological. It's not illogical or logical, it's theological. In order for faith to work, it has to be rooted in something. Have faith in God. And what I believe is I believe in God. I might not have all the answers. I might not know all the outcomes, but I know God is. I know he is a rewarder to those that diligently seek him. I know God is a healer. I know God is the lover of my soul. I know that God makes all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. I know that he told me there's no weapon forged that is able to harm me because I have a heritage because I'm a servant of the Lord. I know that he said, I'll never leave me nor forsake me and be with me to the end of the world. These are the things that I know. I know if I meditate on this word day and night, I'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. My leaf won't wither, and whatever I do, it will prosper. These are the things that I know based on his word. So God's going to do some work on your insight. Come on, squeeze that hand. There's heavy minds and heavy hearts in this room. God's not mad at you. David went and enlisted in the enemy's army, and God still came and talked to him. Do you hear what I'm saying? God doesn't always choose us because we're good. God chooses us because of what he had in mind. You're what he had in mind. You're part of his covenant harmony. You're part of his covenant purpose that is eternal. You have a role, a part to play in a bigger destiny than you can believe. That's why he's been tugging on your heart. That's why he's been sending people your way. That's why you made it to the house of the Lord the first Sunday of the year this morning. It is not even your custom. I don't know who am I talking to. It is not even your custom or tradition to do stuff like this, but you in here. Because God's got something for you. And he needs your pursuit. He needs you to go after some stuff. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, shake your spirit this morning. Squeeze that hand. Father, I thank you for every person in this room. I thank you, Father God, that we come. Because we realize this is a movement. You're doing something special. You're doing it region by region, area by area. You're doing it in your people all over the globe. And you're raising up a remnant believer. And you're positioning us strategically all throughout the globe so that your purposes can be fulfilled. The blessing that's coming our way is a part of that purpose. How you're going to bless us, when you're going to bless us, why you're blessing us, is a part of that purpose. Because our stuff is connected to somebody else's freedom. When we're in pursuit, Father, let us not be blind to the needs of others. Let us realize what we're going after is a blessing and an answer to somebody else. Let us realize that we're connected more than we realize. Let us not be so blind by what we're going after that we're so busy that that busyness creates barrenness. Let us become fruitful in every endeavor that we go after this year. Let us search and seek your will. And whatever you don't want us to go after, we leave it behind. But whatever you tell us to go after, we will go after it with tenacity and with consistency. We'll go after it with gratitude. We'll go after it because we have hindsight. And because our insight is working and intuitively, Father God, we'll begin to anticipate what you're doing. And we can move in that anticipation, which takes us ahead of time and ahead of schedule. Father, we thank you for the recovery of everything that was stolen, all of our heart, all of our dreams, all of our emotions that we had to wrestle with and battle with, all of the feelings that we had to fight and face, and the fears that we wrestle with, and all of, Father, thank you for the recovery of a right mind. Thank you for the recovery of a right mind. Thank you for the recovery of a right mind. Thank you for the recovery of a right mind. a spirit that can't fear, a sound mind. We thank you for soundness. We thank you for clarity. We thank you for wholeness. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, when we release this hand, we anticipate a miracle. We anticipate the inevitable. We anticipate the supernatural intervention of God. We expect miracle. We expect breakthrough. We expect increase. We expect to prosper. We expect it in the name of God's Christ. If you believe that, let that hand go and give God praise with expectation in your heart and your spirit. Hallelujah. I got 5 minutes. I took way too much time, so I really got 5 minutes, so I'm going to steal these 5 minutes from you. It's the first Sunday of the year, and you want to set your heart to the things of God and the purposes of God. And you know you need to come back to the house of God. You know you need to reconnect to the Lord. You know you need to prioritize worship. You know you need to have a covering. You know you need to have a spiritual family. And God has been talking to your heart about connecting with us. I want to give you the opportunity to do it right now. Don't even hesitate. Don't even blink an eye. You know you need to be connected here. You know you need to be connected to God. You know you need to come back to the Lord. You know you need a church home and a church family. You make your way out your seat right now and just go ahead and run down here. And I want to pray with you. Come on. I want to welcome you into the house of God. You know who I'm talking to. Just go ahead and do it right now. Just go ahead and do it right now. Go ahead and do it right now. Come on. Go ahead and do it right now. Go ahead and do it right now. Come on. Go ahead and do it right now. Come on, KLC. Go ahead and do it right now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, church. Come on. Where's your energy? Where's your energy? Come on. Come on. Do it right now. Come on. Do it right now. Come on, baby. Come on. 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 Move down, move down. Come on, come on, come on. It's not too late. Come on, come on. Make this your declaration. Make it a priority. God, I got to serve you. God, I got to serve you. Come on, I got into some stuff, but God, I want to serve you. Come on, come on. Move out your seat right now. Move out your seat right now. Come on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on, I want to pray with you. I want to pray with all of you. It's nothing like being connected. It's nothing like being a part of. It's nothing like not knowing that you're not alone. And this is what God is saying to you. You're not by yourself. So stop operating like you're by yourself. Some of you have spiritual heritage. Some of you goes back down to your great-grandmother, your great-auntie. You know God. And you know you need to be in the house of the Lord. And you know enlisting in the army of the enemy was crazy. You did it, but God kept you and he preserved you. And he rejected you until you could be redeemed and come back home. Welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome home. Hallelujah. 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 Welcome home. God loves you more than you'll ever know. I said God loves you more than you'll ever know. God loves you more than you'll ever know. You don't have to be perfect. You just got to be present. You just got to be present. You got to keep coming. When it hurts, you got to keep coming. When you don't know, you got to keep coming. When everybody get on your last nerve, you still got to keep. I'm talking to y'all too. I ain't just talking to them. I'm talking to y'all too. You got to keep coming. You got to be consistent. God's going to bless you. Welcome. I am honored. I want to be your pastor. I want the job. I want to preach the word of God to you in an uncompromising fashion. I want to see you grow spiritually. I want to see your family be blessed. I want to see your kids be blessed. I want to see your children go on and do bigger and better things. I want to celebrate with you. I want to cry with you. Amen. I want to send you support when you need it. I want to be your pastor. I'm honored to do it, and I'm qualified for it. Your enemies are my enemies. I beat off every devil off of your life. You're going to be blessed, and you're going to be somebody in God. I thank God for that. Amen. And all these wonderful people, not just me, y'all sell them. Come on. We got your back. Welcome home. Come on. Thank God for these people. Who they going with? Sister Gert? I want you to turn and go with this wonderful lady. Her name is Sister Gertrude. She's going to give you some information. Come on, church. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Come on. Thank God. Were you blessed today? Look at your name and say, I'm ready to pursue, man. Go get my stuff. Lift those hands. Come on. Receive the blessing of God. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May he surround you with his favor as with a shield. May his angels take you up and camp themselves round about you. May his precious blood cover you from now to eternity. In Jesus' name. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you on Wednesday night.